something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
You'll never guess who's on cue with Tom Power.
And it's the first episode of the Laugh Trigger Guy sitcom.
Plus, the top five feeling sorry for yourself jams. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
You're listening to Q on CBC Radio 1. I'm Tom Power from Newfoundland. You know, not all heroes wear capes. And sometimes you wake up in the morning and you think, there are people in my life that are colorblind. There are people that can't eat gluten. You never know what people are tangling with. And, you know, not all ailments come with a check from the government or the right to park near the mall entrance. Sometimes you have something that you don't know why. There is really no explanation for it, and you've never seen it before or since. And my guest this morning, files into that bucket. Certainly growing up in Newfoundland the way I did, being from Newfoundland, is it's not something I've ever encountered, though given my life and work in music, it's, you know, something that some days I think I wish I had more of. But I'll let him explain. My guest joins me from our studio in Saskatoon. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, start at the start.
Well,
I wasn't quite finished my question. Start at the start. Why? Well, I guess that's my question. Why?
I was just born with this really loud kind of voice. My mom spoke of it in her womb. And growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends because of it. And to be honest, it's been a bit of a problem my whole life. I would hope to think that you could maybe give me a hand, because it's hard being Reverb Guy.
If you just joined us, I'm Tom Power from Newfoundland. You're listening to Q on CBC Radio 1 and also on PRI, Public Radio something. And our guest this morning wants to be known as Reverb Guy because he doesn't want his anonymity given away, which I fully understand. Do either of your parents suffer from this ailment?
No, neither. And I've never heard of anybody in my family lineage to have the same ailment, I would say.
Your voice is what we would call in St. John's right wet. It's right wet. What do you sound like in your drier moments?
It doesn't. Well, sometimes in my quietest moments, I sit and think and wonder, what's the point of this? I'm just too loud.
Do your, out of curiosity, and forgive the question, feel free to not answer it if you don't want to. Do your thoughts have reverb too?
Unfortunately, yes.
So, if you're just joining us, I'm Tom Power from Newfoundland. You're listening to Q on CBC Radio 1, PRI, in the car, Sirius XM, satellite radio, and also in your mind. Our guest is Reverb Guy from Saskatoon, who, as you can hear in his voice, it's as though he has a reverb effect on his voice at all times. So, Reverb Guy, a lot of people born with your, I don't want to call it a ploit, but born with your situation, would have a choice to make. You could either embrace this and choose to do something in your life that you're not familiar with, or you can try to fight it. What have you chosen to do?
Well, there's no fighting it. I mean, I've tried to muffle my voice. Like you said earlier, I hear it in my own head, so if I don't say it, it's just louder in my own mind, and I mean, the staircase to my mind is just a, It's a tall one. If I hear my voice come reverberating from both sides, the top and bottom, it just cancels. They can see.
Oh, sorry.
They cancel each other out like when that happens.
So if you are in a reverby area, like a stairwell, say at an airport parking structure or an empty dollar store, what does that sound like?
It's pretty much, people shake, people jump. I've had old women throw things at me thinking I'm pulling a prank, and it's just public places are very very difficult for me, as you can hear.
Well, the obvious question is, why haven't you gone into calling flights or horse races or something where your reverb would actually help?
Well, I mean, I've tried that, but I just can't get past the interview process. Like I said, maybe you can help me. Maybe there's someone out there in the world that would like a barker, or perhaps I could do your fare. I mean, you don't need to pay for a PA system or a microphone. I could work. I could do speeches.
And yet, the thing that is maybe most surprising, I'm Tom Power, you're listening to Q on CBC Radio 1, is that you, and not many people know this until now, work as an accountant at H&R Block.
That's right.
And it's your busy season right now.
Yes, it's very busy.
So when you prepare a tax return for a Bayman or a townie, as we'd say in Newfoundland, where I'm from, how are they daunted by your voice?
Yes. I would have to say I give them a card, and on that card it says, I apologize, but I have reverberation in my voice at all times, so please don't be disturbed when I say hello. And then I say hello, and they think it was a joke. And usually they are... I am very good at my job, and that's pretty much what keeps my job, to be honest. I can get a tax return filed in under an hour.
In the words of the great Shar, if you could turn back time, would you do anything different?
I would definitely take the reverb off my voice, Tom.
We'll leave it there. It's been extraordinary, full-bodied pleasure talking to you this morning.
Thank you very much.
That's a reverb guy joining us from our studio in Saskatoon. I'm Tom Powers. You're listening to Q on CBC Radio 1, PRI, in the car, on your moped, if you're shopping at Needs, getting a bag of chippies, or whatever you're doing this morning. I hope it's a good one. We'll be right back.
Oh, that was funny.
Tom Powers from Newfoundland.
Love Tom Power from Newfoundland.
Also love Reverb Guy, and I love that people like Reverb Guy, Laugh Trigger Guy, and Golf Swing Guy all really resonated with people because our instincts were right. Those people are out there big time.
Yeah, they are. And we would like to, I'd love to highlight our friend Laugh Trigger Guy again, if that's possible today.
Sure.
I mean, it's...
We had a confession this morning from a gentleman who said, oh my gosh, in listening to that, I've realized I am Laugh Trigger Guy. And that...
Oh, wow.
That's a come to Jesus moment for a fella.
Yeah, we had also a guy saying that came from the Golf Swing Guy.
Yeah.
Which happens.
Yeah, who added extra details like, you know, Golf Swing Guy trying to tuck his elbow in.
Oh,
doing
no.
A golf swing in public, like really clearly working through something.
Trying to cure that chicken wing at the movies.
Man.
Bad idea.
I think, why is that the only sport that people do that for? You don't see people taking fake baseball swings.
Or basketball shots.
Or curling. Like... right? Imagine people getting down, man. Throwing rocks.
Throwing a rock, just getting your form.
I'm going to start doing it just to see.
With one leg all back.
I'm going to start doing it just to see.
Curling's coming back with the hipsters here in Toronto. Do you know that?
Is it?
Yeah. You have all the hip folks, the bands, those the beards and the waxed mustaches and the...
Like crazy beard guys are curling?
Yes.
But they're doing it ironically.
Isn't that classic?
Well, the reason why curling is awesome is because it's a very social thing.
Yeah.
And it's built around a culture of liquor.
Yeah, that's the thing. So they apparently they play jams and it like they do it for like a few days a week, and there's I don't know which rink it is downtown, but it's packed 3 days a week or something, and that's what they do. They play jams and get crushed and play some curling.
Like curling is the new cosmic bowling?
No, it's beyond that. It's more like the if you put like Trinity Bellwoods Park and just shuffled all the people into a room.
So people are wearing scoop neck shirts with a pattern from the bay.
Yeah, and like it's 40 below and everyone's coming in a denim jacket.
And also wearing those big zippy knit sweaters.
And dad hats. That's the other thing, the dad hats.
Walk me through a dad hat. What is that?
Well, I'm assuming the first dad hat guy I thought I saw was Mac DeMarco, who's Canadian hipster, gone to Brooklyn and became, you know, one of those guys because he's genuine and writes good music, but he also was wearing, like, kind of 80s clothes, like those hats from the 80s, like that your dad wears now. Or those big jackets, you know, with the huge arms from the 80s.
Sort of.
You know, like the National Lampoon clothes, basically. You know, like a hat that they would wear.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like just cheap, old, like wrinkly, greasy hats.
This is the problem, though. Like, I have a legit Tim Hortons Timbits hat. Let me talk you through this hat.
To see if it's dadded enough?
It's what I would, if you hadn't just explained it, it's what I would call a dad hat.
Okay. All right.
It has a white foam front.
Yeah.
Gold piping. Brown mesh back. And gold, like, you know in the Navy when you get your hat is decorated? Like on the brim.
No, that's... Yeah, that's more of a, like, I would call that a one-off outsider hat rather than the dad hat.
Because
the
dad
hats don't have the mesh backs. They have just the cloth all around.
But the problem is they're tiny dad hats.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Like, they just kind of go to the top of your head.
I can't wear those.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan either of them.
You're not really a hat guy.
Huh?
You're not really a hat guy, are you?
Oh, yeah, I am, for sure, in the summertime. I'll fire a hat on.
If you're golfing or just anyway?
If it's really sunny and burling sun, I'll wear it. And in golfing, I'll wear a hat.
So what kind of hat would you wear if you weren't golfing? Because it's sort of a golf like swing guy thing to wear a ping hat just as a hat.
I like the old school Blue Jay hats. They're nice.
What do you do with your ponytail? Tuck it through the opening?
Just fire down a low or, you know, loosen her up.
Do you ever wear a hat with your hair down, bud?
Sometimes.
Sick. Tell the story about your grandmother and Frank Mihaljevic.
Oh, yeah, my great-grandmother was at a Leafs game. And Frank Mihaljevic fired a slap shot. I guess it got tipped or something and went into the crowd and hit her right in the head, knocked her clean out. And she had to go to the hospital.
Like one of those,
Yeah, definitely. Like everybody around her, you know, she went down and came to her aid, people around her and stuff. So, yeah, went to the hospital and he came and visited her in the hospital.
How cool is that?
Pretty Buddhism at its best.
So what did he do? He came and just gave her a slap on the back and maybe there was a picture and...
I don't know. Yeah, just kind of how are you? Is everything okay? Just to make sure she was not hurt too much. I assume that was back before the day of like, doing it because of a lawsuit. You know what I mean? It was genuine.
Why? Do people do that now?
Well, no, they say they have to kind of make amends or else that person can sue them, you know?
Wow.
Like if you throw something in the crowd at a concert and someone gets hurt, then that person, you better make amends with that person because they can take you right to the cleaners.
Whatever happened with Josh?
Well, deservedly, depending on what the hell, like, hit them. Like that idiot move by Josh Homme from Homme there from the Queens of the Stone Age, kicking the camera girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just stupid.
So what, if you're him, what is his justification of doing that?
He's probably in that mode that I cannot stand, that are some, for some reason, some, you know, bands or, you know, singers think that if they're on stage, then that's their area and sanctuary and nobody comes on here or you die. So like if that means if like anybody gets on stage, you have some 7 foot, 300 pound gorilla come run and tackle the guy from the back, you know, even if they're just standing there, that style of stage. And also if somebody's bothering them, like, you know, throwing something at somebody in the crowd or kicking people like they're not supposed to be there or whatever, just terrible stuff. I've seen all kinds of asshole behavior by really a lot of, you know, lots of different musicians, and that's a great example of that, like, bullshit idea that you have like some domain that's law above all laws, which is completely insane.
So that's the justification. It's my stage, it's my territory.
Well, she clearly wasn't even, yeah,
if you didn't see what happened, this woman who's a photographer was taking a picture of him and he kicked the camera out of her hand, right?
It, well, not even, no, it's clear that he just kind of goes over, you can see, and it's her head is really the only thing there, and he makes a gesture complete to kick her or whoever it was in the head, in his mind, because they were taking pictures too close or something. But that was a get the fuck out of here thing, which is totally out of line.
I mean, period, end, full stop.
Yeah,
especially for sure. Though, when someone is just trying to do their job.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, of course, and it was a festival. It wasn't their show even. You know, it's like first, the only time I could see someone being upset, and you should never be physical with anybody, but usually if you're performing a show, photographers, they'll get like the first three songs and then they have to leave.
Really?
And if they're there after, you can tell them not to be there or whatever, but that's the worst thing I could think happening, let alone, you know, obviously not being physically violent to someone because they're there, but there was no reason for that because it was a K-Rock Weenie Roast, which is a radio festival. So it's their rules, and everybody on that stage has no right to do anything like that.
What is the thinking behind the first three songs?
What's that?
What is the thinking behind the first three songs?
Well, because I guess after you don't have flashes going in your eyes, right, all night. It ends after the, you know.
Right, that's fair.
Because it just... If you're playing a show and there's people there all night, it just kind of takes away from the vibe, and people in the front row start to get annoyed.
Can you feel, like, obviously some crowds are better than others, or some nights go better than others, but can you feel it if the juju's off?
Totally.
Like, it's just not working 100%. For whatever reason?
For sure.
So what would dictate that?
I don't know. Sometimes... like, that's the same thing with, you know, athletes when they get into a slump. Like, I don't know how it happens, but it does. And you know what it's like when there's some days you just don't feel like being funny.
Yeah.
And you can't do it. And maybe you're working at acting and trying to do a scene, and you know in your heart, it's like, I guarantee I'm not going to get this today.
Right.
But tomorrow I will. For some reason, I can't do it now. But that's the same thing with music. In the studio where you're trying to get a certain feel and it's just not working. You're just too close to it or whatever. And yet you need to get away from it to have a chance to do it again. And it usually is way better when you do that.
So could someone who went to two shows back to back, one that you thought went great and one that you thought didn't,
Sure.
Could someone there tell? Or is that in your head?
Yeah. No, the crowd has a big part to do with that too.
Right.
Because you can be feeling like, man, I'm not really playing like I want to be right now, but the crowd is like killing it, you know? So you just kind of, it picks you back up. But I've never seen it where the crowd's dull and it's like, man, that was a great show.
Right.
It has a lot to do with the crowd for sure.
And I bet some people, their default is, oh, it's the crowd's fault.
Well, yeah. And sometimes it is. You know, sometimes you're playing to a crowd that doesn't care about your music. You know, I've opened up shows for bands that it's totally not our crowd, and you can tell. You know. But I think that's when, you know, that's when you have to kind of take it up a notch and change and try and adapt slightly to get that audience. But that doesn't really happen anymore because, I mean, most genres are so sorted that you can't really change anything when you're playing live.
Hit me with a Corey. It wasn't the crowd's fault. It was your fault.
A Corey? Oh, okay. So you...
Man, that show sucked.
Yeah. Corey, it wasn't your fault. It was that crowd's fault, man.
Nah,
Did you hear them? Did you hear them?
Nah, what?
They sucked, man.
Nobody was clapping.
You were great, Corey.
I did my thing.
That's right, buddy.
It's on the...
You want a drink?
No.
You want to do some push-ups?
Let's take a break.
Okay.
Cocktail, please.
This week on Lurly to Rise.
I'd say you and I are part of the So Be It union. That's the theme song for Lurly to Rise?
Yeah. Lurly, here's your potatoes and here's your roast beef, okay?
Oh, roast beast. My favorite.
Yeah. You want something to drink?
What goes good with this shoe leather? Oh, that's the roast beef.
Oh, really? You know, we've been married for 20 years, Lurly.
Ugh, time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I've been thinking about...
Uh-oh, is that why the smoke's coming out of your ears?
You know me. You know me, Lurly.
Do I?
We're through. I'm leaving.
Uh-oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
No, I'm serious. We're getting a divorce.
What?
We're getting a divorce. I'm done. That's it. I'm sick and tired of this.
Done like this roast beef? Because in that case, it's overdone.
See, that's it!
Oh, you're serious.
Now, I'm looking at your finances here, Lurly, and I mean, this settlement, let's just try and make this as easy as possible here.
Wait a sec. First of all, whatever number's on there, cut it in half, because that's what she gets.
Well, I mean, you're not far off. I mean, let's not forget...
Let's not forget your cut. What do I owe you?
And also the house, it's in her name, so she's going to keep that.
Homeless.
Homeless, that's... and obviously, like you said, you're going to owe me my $20,000 retainer.
Better declare bankruptcy.
So, Lurly, this is a beautiful restaurant. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Thanks for bringing me here.
Well, on firstdate.com, part of getting back out there is picking a nice spot. So worst case scenario, if you don't enjoy my company, you'll enjoy the roast beef.
Apparently the roast beef's divine here. Do you want some wine?
Well, that does sound great because I put up with whining for the last 20 years.
Oh, did you have a hard time with your wife?
That's maybe putting it mildly.
Can you maybe tell me about it a bit? Are you, do you have time?
Well, it's still kind of fresh.
When did you get divorced?
Oh, what time is it now? Seriously.
It was that recent.
going through life with Laugh Trigger Guy.
When does Laugh Trigger Guy ever get sad? He's on a date the night his divorce goes through.
Where are you staying right now?
Depends how the night goes. Or what if he's just dropping truth? Ask me again.
So where are you staying right now?
My car. No, really.
What if he's like couch surfing USA?
Couch surfing USA. That's such a bad joke. I'm so conflicted because I like his spirit. I like that he's trying to keep it light, but I can't help but feel like he's skimming over the emotions around a big life event.
Oh, poor.
Couch surfing USA. Do, 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 do. If everybody had emotion against them. That's why I'm couch surfing wherever I can get, eh?
Every single time he's got a whole song, oh man.
Shouts to Chris Abbott from Eastlink, one of the hockey commentators on the cable service out here. He suggested that Lurley should have his own morning show called Lurley in the Morning.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, the truth is, there are a lot of morning folks that sound like Lurley.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine how long Lurley would last on the air.
Well, morning FM folks are full laugh triggers, though.
Yeah, definitely, but it's not as... Yeah, I guess it's... Yeah, for sure, you're right, because he doesn't have any reason to be negative, so he can just pour on the cheap lines.
FM radio in the morning, man. Not all of them. Not our boy John Derringer.
No, no.
But some folks are the, how you doing? Cold out there.
Oh, man, or like, yeah, that followed by the big smoker's cough. My favorite was like, you don't hear it as much anymore, but like in the 90s and stuff, you heard like, and even in the 2000s, you hear the late night guys that are on the radio and you hear them getting more and more banged up as the night went on.
No.
Yeah, so they'd be, because they'd be at like a club or something, you know, like a live to air. And you could tell by like 1 o'clock, they're like, and then we got up with the new Foreigner.
I feel like it's too bad that radio isn't live anymore, because I love, it's like when you see a concert and someone forgets a lyric or makes a mistake, you love that because you're getting to see something that not everybody else is.
Yeah.
And well, it's the same with radio. Like, you don't hear people miss the post because they actually sneaky record them during the song before.
Yeah, they do a lot of that.
And you know what else they do? If I'm on 6 to 9 in the morning, I'm going to record the 9 to 12 show and just play that when I'm not even there.
Or it's just, like, nobody there and a computer playing jams with, like, the odd narration, which is happening a lot, too, in America. Like, with clear channel stations, there's, like, nobody there. And it's just digital.
This is something I don't understand. There is, like, for example, a radio station in Truro. They have an interaction with Ryan Seacrest and whoever the DJ is here. That sounds legit, but it can't be. How do they do that?
What do you mean?
Like, hey, Ryan, what's coming up today? Well, funny you should ask, Trent. Today we're going to be looking at this, this, and this.
I don't know. You mean like they probably do local feeds, each one, like he's doing individual?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like they're doing it, ripping through them?
I know, but what does he do? Like he just Mike Duffy's every name there is? Funny you should ask, Trent. Funny you should ask, Maureen. I guess. Funny you should ask, Travis.
The name Duff, Mike Duffy name generator.
We should give shout-outs to radio folks that are...
keeping it old school and keeping it legit. I heard my buddy Darren Harvey yesterday on K-Rock, which is in the Annapolis Valley, Nova Scotia, just crush the post to Up Around the Bend.
Oh, nice.
And when you hear, like, when you hear the old school guys really go for it and really nail it, it's thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Up Around the Bend, Creedence only on K-Rock. Like one of those?
It's not, it's, Toronto's different. I think it's a little more that whole, like, more modern feel, because, I mean, with Indie 88, it doesn't, they don't really hit the post necessarily, and same with The Edge or Q107. It just sounds like they kind of lead into it more, and it plays.
I think, or they try to get out on a joke.
Yeah.
That's why Laugh Trigger Guy's great.
You still hear it once in a while from time to time, and most people that work here in Toronto can hit the post pretty hard.
Wish I'd known that when I was in college.
Panama! Oh, man. Panama. How about the laughing for the Guess Who as the jam?
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that classic?
Of course it is.
Hey, do you want to play a game?
Sure.
You want to play Guess the Ambiance?
Yeah.
It's a fun little game. We made
Vive l'ambiance.
We like to play a game, make up here. I like to make up games here. Okay, can you guess this sound here?
So you're going to play ambient sound and I have to guess what or where it is.
Yeah, right now, ambient sound.
Okay.
What and where? Any idea?
It's hard to hear, but it sounds like high voices. I'm going to say a daycare.
No, that's just a general room with people talking in it, which is very difficult to
pretty guess, broad.
To be be so specific. I gave you the hard one first, I guess.
Okay. So now that you schooled me, throw me a marshmallow, will
you? You want a marshmallow?
Yeah.
You want a marshmallow, do you?
Yeah. A marshmallow?
I got many mosquito bites last night.
Throw me a marshmallow.
You know this sound.
Kids in gym. Kids in gym?
Yeah, it says playground, so same idea.
Okay.
Those kids are going crazy right there. You hear that?
I love that sound. I love the din.
You ready to take it somewhere else?
Yeah.
Hey.
Jungle?
It's forest and nature. Isn't that David Suzuki over there? In behind that tree?
I said jungle. That's close.
What are you doing back there, David?
Are you teeing me up to do a David Suzuki impression?
Yeah.
Not taking that bait.
Oh, you don't want to do anything what he's doing behind the tree.
No, remember when he dissed me?
Oh, man. Huh?
Remember when he dissed me?
No, what?
You remember that. I was on At The End and he would call me an idiot.
No way.
Yeah. Really? What? By the way, do you have any social encounters that you wish you could change?
No, I my only exchange was an email asking him to interview him for my old podcast back in the day, and I got a response like 18 months later, maybe, and I was just like, come on.
Like, sorry, this was in my spam folder?
Who's that? No, but who's that busy that it's 18 months?
Right.
Come on.
It's a long time.
I'd say by then, the fads have changed.
Do you have any social encounters in your past, like meeting people that you put your foot in your mouth or did something or didn't act yourself that you're like, I should probably take a Terry David Mulligan on that?
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Because one that springs to mind for me.
Tell me the David Suzuki one, though, first.
We were on a show called At The End that was at CBC Vancouver. And it was another one of those, not unlike Off The Record. where they were like, you're irreverent guy, and the show is best when there's like a whole mix of human beings. And so I was irreverent guy, and I guess I kind of ground serious discussion to a halt with a couple of curveball non sequiturs. And he was like, you're an idiot.
He just hit you with that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, on the air?
Well, yeah, and he's right.
Oh, but you're like, that's what they told you to do.
Yeah. Well, it was off the record all over again. But I'm thinking of one interaction in particular where I asked a gentleman when his wife was due, and it turned out she wasn't pregnant.
Oh, no.
And that was a...
That's bad.
It's the worst. And there's no way to, like, extract yourself from that. And as awful as it was a wonderful lesson because I don't bother... Even if I'm positive, you don't say anything.
I'm trying to think of a good one.
But yeah. some of those things, like, sometimes they suck in a great way for a reason.
Like, I've met people where I was like, it's their fault that it wasn't good.
All right, let's hear some of those.
But that's different. Like, they weren't nice. Like, Flea from the Chili Peppers was like, Anthony Kiedis was like, said hello, and he's like, to Flea, and I didn't ask to say hi to Flea, but he's like, hey, Flea, say hi to Jeremy, and Flea looks at me and just walks past.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck that stuff. There's no reason, like, he didn't know me at all, but just like, what kind of move is that?
Why does Flea get to do that?
I don't know.
Well, no one gets to do that.
But that's, you know, there's those kind of things.
I just watched Carpool Karaoke with those guys. Flea just seems like he's not super swift.
Yeah, maybe.
Is Anthony a cool guy?
He seemed all right. I don't know. Seemed pretty nice, but I don't know. It's like I'm not a big fan of their music, but they're still, I respect them for sure. But I don't know. It seems like they get a lot of praise that's unnecessary, in my opinion.
Do you... is there anyone that you would like to meet that you haven't?
No, I don't care about that stuff at all. You know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
It's like, I know if I sat and talked with Bob Dylan, it would be shit. So I don't know. It wouldn't be worth doing.
Well, this, was I talking about this last week? Shug gave me the Lightfoot book.
Yeah.
And
you said he's awkward, and Gordon said they're both kind of awkward, right?
So yeah, they're big fans of each other, but anytime they're together, it's super uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, that's Bob Dylan, so I mean, he's probably one of the few people I'd like to ask, but the questions I'd like to ask him, he wouldn't want to answer.
So. Why?
Because he's not a type that likes to talk about anything that... I don't know if he's a fan of hearing other people's opinion, to be honest.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? Because he made his music, and imagine how many times he heard people, like, when he was first came out in 64 and pounding and everybody... He was, like, as big as the Beatles. I mean, it was... he had the same, like, Albert Grossman, his manager, was doing the same stuff that Brian Epstein was doing, like selling merchandise and Bob Dylan boots and stuff like that, sunglasses like Bob Dylan, and the same idea to build his brand in that way. But him as a person was always just very standoffish, and there's a funny video of him and John Lennon in the back of a cab in like 1965 or 1966, and Bob Dylan's, I guess, way of meeting and hanging out with John Lennon, who was clearly a legend at that time, and Bob Dylan was too, but I'm sure he was probably a little nervous, but he's just absolutely banged up, so banged up. And they're both drinking, but Bob Dylan's so hammered that he's just not making any sense.
So that's just how he would handle that?
Well, I guess back then. But I don't know. He'd like to collaborate with people. So you'd see him with Johnny Cash, or you'd see him with musicians in the band and stuff. I'm sure it's different when you're just creating music, but when you're sitting and chatting, I don't know. I'm sure he prefers very specific company when it comes to that stuff.
Well, it's funny because you realize how insecure people are, right? Maybe more so somehow at that level. Like, Lightfoot...
Well, is it insecurity or is it just that's the way they want things? You know what I mean?
Like, Lightfoot and his girl at the time invite Dylan and his lady friend at the time over after a show. Like, I can't remember. Dylan invited Lightfoot to come to his show at Maple Leaf Gardens or something. In any event, the four of them end up back at Lightfoot's house after the show.
Mm-hmm.
They offer the Dylans some food, and Dylan says he'd like to have a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
And Lightfoot goes to the kitchen with his girlfriend or wife, can't remember which, and says, well, you know, cheese sandwich isn't very impressive. Let's give him a ham and cheese sandwich. Mm-hmm. So she comes back with ham and cheese sandwiches, and he doesn't eat ham.
Yeah.
So the rest of the night was like super uncomfortable.
Well, like she wrecked the move. They wrecked it by putting ham on the table.
Yeah, but it was already wrecked even before the ham.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You never know with certain types of people. He's definitely, he's what you call a genius, and so is Gordon Lightfoot, but Bob Dylan is, he has all kinds of different things going on in his head that I don't know. He's such a great musician. And
maybe it's better from a distance. I saw Christopher Guest at a movie theater in L.A. once, and I thought I wanted to say something. But I can almost guarantee he's a bit of a whack doodle in real life, and maybe it's better to just be like, hey, there's that guy whose movies I like.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, like, what, in your opinion, is, like, something that's just beyond, like, who's, a lot of people, the weight of how many people like them is bigger than the actual product, you know what I mean? The importance of what they made, or the respect that they get is overdone, you know, like, people might think, when we were growing up, that the Beatles, it was, like, so much that it was too much, but Beatles and Bob Dylan to me are one of those things, and mostly Bob Dylan, where it's like he's actually probably even better than the praise that he's gotten. You know what I mean?
You think so, huh?
I think so. I know so for sure.
Well, it's funny because Dilsey would say that Lightfoot is the best songwriter of all time.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not even about the songwriting. It's just his poetry as well as his ability of music. Like, he really knows musicality and notes and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, the actual delving into the theory of music.
Yeah.
It's amazing. People wouldn't know how complex Bob Dylan is musically because he's just sitting there playing either a piano or a acoustic guitar. But he's really out of hand.
That's so sick.
Yeah, man, he can like transpose in seconds on different instruments. Like, you know,
can
how
he
hard
really
he's doing that, like, oh, I can't play this in this key, forget it. He's like, oh, okay, I gotcha, like 2 seconds, no problem. That's hard to do, man.
Well, you know, I know you don't watch The Voice, but when their house band is rehearsing with kids and it's like, actually, can we try this a half step up?
Yeah,
and all
boom.
10 members of the band are there right away.
Yeah, no, they're all crazy.
Crazy. That is musicianship. And they have to play every genre every week.
The show.
It's nuts.
Speaking of week, let's take a break on this week's episode of 131 of TNT.
Girl, your segues are tight.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
Oh. Let's just go for a drive, Joanne.
What's wrong, Hal? You seem like you're down in the dumps.
Ah. Work's got me down, Joanne.
How many times have I told you to not even care about work? The best present you can give somebody is being present.
My boss just don't understand him, Joanne.
Do you mean like you don't understand his leadership style?
No, I just can't understand him.
Like why he does the things he does, or what he says, or acts the way he acts.
No, I don't know what he's saying.
Like what his plan is, or his corporate speak, or his double talk.
No, Joanne.
How?
I don't understand what. I can't hear when he's talking. I don't get what he's saying, the words.
Because he whispers, or it sounds like he has marbles in his mouth, or he mumbles, or saliva.
Yeah, he's from Scotland and South Africa and Australia. And I think his dad's from Denver.
I was going to say Denver.
Yeah.
All the people that I haven't been able to understand in my life, that's where they've been from. Is it Colorado?
He's just all over the map, Joanne. So
well,
I just don't know
take
what.
This too
I don't
hard.
Know what to do.
I'm worried about you, Hal. Aw, there's nothing worse than a Texan crying. Hal. You suck them tears right out of your eyeballs and drink them back down as Kool-Aid.
Poor Hal.
Poor old Hal. You go back and you call your boss and you tell him, "Bleh," from me. I almost passed out with that.
I think it's your new thing. Your neck jolted forward like a rooster.
I think "bleh" is like the Texan version of "yeah." I'm gonna tell you something. "Bleh." You tell him. "Bleh, bleh." "Bleh, bleh, bleh."
Oh no.
It's Gork and Texan.
Oh, man.
Have you been to that place in Canada where there's a ghost named Gork?
Oh, man.
I'm going to tell you something for free. Hey, can I have a drink of your milkshake? What's up, Noah? I'm sorry, I finished it from you.
It sounds like Goofy from Walt Disney's Getting Dark.
It's Goofy on 45.
He's in the car with those tires with the patches on it, bouncing up and down. He's like,
"Can I take a little sip of your old fashioned? I just have to take this pill." Thank you so much. That's what I would do if I was an extra in a restaurant scene.
Oh, yeah.
In the background of a conversation.
In the background? Trying to move the Adam's apples, just whistling back and forth.
Did I ever tell you, this was the, we'll get back to the top five feeling sorry for ourselves jams in a sec. This was my first experience on a movie set. There was an actor named Michael Riley, who you might know. You probably know his face. Really good actor. And the movie was called Lifeline to Victory. And it was about a bunch of ships in World War II that escorted the munitions boats from Halifax to Greenock, Scotland.
Okay.
So in the scene that we were shooting, I was the radio operator in the movie. And in the scene we were shooting, it was the morning after a big, like, gunfight, explosion, bombs dropped, boat sank. And Michael Riley's character was wondering if his mentor's ship was sunk.
Okay.
So my line is, sunk last night, numbers 32, 71, 68, 94, whatever.
Yeah.
He's standing in the foreground, soap opera style, facing the camera. I'm way in the background with my back to the camera.
Yeah.
When he gets to the number of his, or when I get to the number of his mentor's ship, like number 94, he stops me and goes, "Wait, survivors?" And my line was, the message said, "No survivors were picked up, sir." Michael Riley is one of these, like, listens to a Walkman of ocean sounds between takes to get in the zone, like, actor dudes. And I was probably 16. I was on Street Sense, but I hadn't done anything else yet.
But that was your big break line.
Yeah.
That was
three lines and Lifeline to Victory.
With your back to the camera.
Yeah, but wait. So I say, sunk last night, numbers this, 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 and this. He stops me.
says Michael Riley was in the zone. I don't even think we rehearsed it. It was like, let's roll on one while Michael's ready.
Yeah.
So I get to number 94. He goes, wait, Survivors? And I turned around and go, no!
No, you didn't.
The message said no survivors were picked up, sir.
You did not.
And Riley doesn't even say his next line.
You're kidding me, right?
I'm not. And there's silence for probably 7 seconds, and I hear a very small voice say cut. It was Eric Till, who was the director. Journeyman, legendary director. And he came over and he put his hand on my shoulder and said, here's the thing. When you act really big and really sad, it makes Michael's sadness seem not as impactful. So just say the words and let Michael do the acting. And I was like, oh, okay, mortified. And he said, let's try it again and see if you can give me something I can F and use.
Nice. That's,
whoa.
Wow.
This is how we do it.
Back-a-doom.
Welcome to the small time, kid.
Whoa.
Whoa. And so what they did is they ended up dubbing my voice. And it was a different actor's voice when I went to see the movie at the
end. So they couldn't even, they didn't even want the, like your voice. Oh, who's that? What?
Alert, alert.
Gummy doggo.
It's Annalise.
Gummy doggo.
Gummy doggo? Anna? Oh, that was it. She just said alert, alert and left.
That was it? A drive-by shouting.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So anyway. There you go. That was my first acting lesson.
That's harsh. But that's how it is.
But you know, it's a great lesson. You let the other people do the acting. Jack Nicholson would say, you let the costume do the acting.
Yeah.
Some other people would say, hit the mark and bark. Some other people would say, stand on the tape and say the words and try to tell the truth. Let's not overthink it. Some other people, like Daniel Day-Mafaka, would want to, like, give birth to himself as his new character.
Jack Nicholson's like, I got this cocaine stare down in The Shining.
Well, he did.
Right? He's got those, Scarface.
Daniel Day-Lewis, in that movie where he sews dresses, sewed a dress.
Yeah, no, he learned how to do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, he'd spent years, like, becoming a cobbler, too, in the last decade or two.
Did he?
Yeah, I wonder how that's going.
Like an apple cobbler?
Yeah, like Black Street, no, like Black, what is it? Black Creek Pioneer Village styles. Remember the vignettes of Black Creek Pioneer Village?
Yeah, of course.
That place is still jamming.
I had a show called Jonathan Crosses Canada after Jonovision, and it was 6 episodes of a show hosted by this pompous news anchor named Jonathan Cross, played by me, who did it. We shot a thing at Black Creek Pioneer Village where he thought he'd actually traveled back in time.
No way. That's how dumb funny.
He was, yeah. When he saw the employees out blowing a dart, he was like really confused.
The fresh new darts.
It was a great idea. But we didn't have enough dough to pull it off. Jeez. There you go.
How about this? Next jam here.
What is it, Billy Ocean?
No, it's Babe by Styx.
Oh, I love it. Gowan throwing this down every night.
How about Bonnie?
What?
Let's do Bonnie here.
Yeah. Well, Lonigan, thank you for swiping right on my Tinder picture, yeah.
I just know when I saw you, I couldn't believe it. I was very surprised.
Well, there aren't too many folks our age out there still looking for love, you know, yeah.
Well, I'm having a wonderful time so far.
Well, I don't know if it's the box of wine or my reflection in your eyes, but could it be I'm falling in love, yeah.
Well, let's see how it goes.
Why don't we perform a maneuver I like to refer to as off again, on again, lawn again, bon again.
Well, that's a little crude for me right now.
Oh, I'm only having a little bit of fun with you, yeah. When was the last time you did something spontaneous and had fun, yeah?
Well, I did, go out the other day without pressed pants.
Lonigan, you daredevil.
I did.
I found that the best way to keep your pants pressed is to take them off, yeah.
So, could you please pass me the catsup?
You'll have to pull it out of my mouth.
Oh, good gracious. Come on, Bonnie. Yes, a little bit.
Lonigan, I don't think I'm overstating it to say the time is of the essence. Let's get right into things. We're young and foolish, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we could go to a movie or something.
Lonigan, why would we go to a talkie when we could spend the evening in each other's arms?
I suggest we take things a little slow.
Oh, you're chased. I get it. It's been a while since I've been chased.
What's
Lonigan,
this?
Lonigan, let me ask you something.
What's this blue pill I found in my bun? What the hell is
it? It's a vitamin.
That?
It'll make you put a little spring in your step.
Why is there several of them in? I've been eating this bun. There's been like six. There's seven in here. What's going on?
I guess I wanted to see if you could stand at attention.
A Viagra chip cookie? That's enough. My goodness.
Oh, relax, Lonigan. Have some fun.
I'm very uncomfortable. I cannot stand at the moment.
Lonigan has, his blood has centralized.
Yeah, as he's gonna pass out from the blood loss from his head.
Well, I love that Blondes is like, let's get it going.
I know, Bonnie.
You must like bonbons, yeah. When was the last time you had a bonbon in your mouth?
Put Bonnie in a different gear and she's all over it.
Well, it just goes to show that she does not have any time for Wolfman Jack.
No, it was like, that was a hit and run. Wolfman.
A smash and dash. Hit another jam, bud.
Okay.
Who do you want to be this time? One More Night?
Yeah.
Love it.
Who are we doing this time?
Diane.
Yes?
I had a major epiphany last night in the bath.
What happened?
Do you know all the Body Shop bath bomb foaming bath ingredients you gave me in my sock at Christmas?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what was in those scents, but it's like it went up my nostrils and into my brain, and I had an epiphany, you know?
Well, that's interesting, because the bath bomb that I got you was called Epiphany.
I wonder if that's where they got the name.
You think?
Because this was the epiphany. It was like a bomb went off in my head.
So what was the thought with the epiphany?
This is the thing. As soon as I had it, it was gone again. And I looked down at the bottle of bubble bath that you gave me to go with the bath bomb, and it was called Gone Again. Is that why?
That's just the other bath bomb that I got you was Gone Again.
But then I took out the cream, the after bath cream you gave me from Body Shop, and it was called Member. And then I remembered what I had an epiphany of in the bath.
Well, that's just how things go in Deja Vu Street.
But then I put on the Let It Go mask that you gave me, and I did let it go, and I couldn't remember again.
I remember this morning making some eggs, and all of a sudden, I couldn't remember where I was.
Well, that's because you were making a forget-me-not omelet.
And that's what they're called in the fridge.
Well, that's when I gave you the book of recipes for Christmas.
Oh, that's why, because it... And then yesterday, I was sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden, there was chocolate chip cookies in my hand.
Well, that's because one of the recipes is surprise chocolate chip cookies.
Wow.
All this to say, thank you for the Christmas gift. It was just perfect. It's like you read my mind. And just as I was thinking that, I opened the You Read My Mind foot cream.
And my toothbrush says, gone again, his hair again.
Hey, never guess what? Remember how I had two teeth pulled?
My toothbrush always has a hair in it. I always have to pull it out, but I always put toothpaste on it and then realize there's a hair on it.
I'm sorry, is this Jeremy or your character in the thing?
No, it's me. For
whose
real.
Hair?
What?
Whose hair is it? Yours?
Mine, usually, because I have hair everywhere.
You know I had two teeth taken out.
Yeah.
And so yesterday I had to bite into some goo because they're making me teeth.
Oh, okay.
And we got a message from a guy who was like, hey, don't worry about it. I sell teeth.
That's right.
I love that. I love that.
Hey, I got teeth right here in my back of the car.
Yeah. He's like, I got teeth in the back seat of my Lexus.
What
Tell
kind
me when
of...
you're going to be in the Giant Tiger parking lot. I'll sell you some teeth.
You want the sizes implants or you want these ones? He's got like the briefcase with all the different kinds.
I gather the hardest part of making teeth is matching the color.
And yeah, and the shape, right? To fit everything else.
Well, that's why you bite in the goo, because then the goo shows the exact opening.
And then they fire in the color perfect. The hue. How's that go?
The color perfect?
No, how do they figure that out? They take out the old teeth and match them?
Well, they match the hole. So I had to bite in the goo and top and bottom so they can figure out, the lab can figure out exactly how big the hole is.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So it's right now not... you look like Gump Worsley?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I can't even smile. Yeah, because they're at the back.
Gumpsies? Daryl Sittler?
Hello, darkness, my old friend back there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
but the goo is not the problem. It's the excess goo that wants to block your tonsils. That's the problem I had a problem with. That was the bleh, bleh, bleh. It's like, can I put this in your mouth for a second? Sure. No. Bleh, bleh. Hit a jam, bot.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
Human Nature by Michael Jackson.
What is your favorite Michael Jackson song?
Not this one.
See, it would be in the conversation for me.
This would?
Yeah.
No.
Like that songs that make me feel something, this and PYT.
But
I think Smooth Criminal.
Which is the one, is Bad, the one with the guitar solo with Eddie Van Halen? That's the one I like.
Because or of
Beat
the guitar
it.
Solo?
I like Beat It, that's the one. Yeah, because it's such a ripping solo. And the rhythm guitar is all Eddie Van Halen, so it's kicks ass straight up. Yeah. Just crushing it for Quincy Jones.
It is like fire, isn't it?
One take, yeah.
How do you know it was one take?
Because it's Eddie Van Halen.
Girl.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it up on the YouTube. That feels like a great way to end this episode.
Whoa, really? Beat It?
Yeah. The
okay.
Guitar solo?
Oh, you already got it?
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Good chatting, bud.
Good chatting, bud. I told you, it's ripping. See you, bud.
Do you still have the reverb guy, Mike?
Yeah.
Can you say that was awesome at the end of the solo?
Okay.
It's over.
Oh, you want to cue it up again?
Yeah.
Keep it going. Do it again. It's worth it.
It's worth fighting for.
Yeah, no, I'll do it.
Okay, here it comes again.
What am I saying again?
You can say that was awesome or that was epic.
Okay.
Or Eddie sounded good, bro.
Yeah.
Just break the silence.
Yeah.
absolutely fantastic!
The whole arena is silent.
See you, bud!
See you, bud! Doom gong gang of ding gong, jubo bounce, doom 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 bounce